There it goes. It is Thursday night, and I think it is Thursday night just about everywhere. But if you're one of our Australia listeners, I guess it's Friday already. So this is Blog Talk Radio and it's Social Geek Radio. Deb Evans here with AK Stout. Hi, AK.
Hello, Deb. How are you this fine Thursday evening?
You know what? Here in Houston, it is seriously absolutely gorgeous. It is high 70s, low 80s, no humidity this week, sunny, cold in the morning that I actually have to wear a sweater when I take the beastie dogs for a walk. So, yeah, it's like, really, we get these weeks so few that it's just so great. And is it done raining in the Baltimore area now?
Yes, fortunately, it did not rain at all today, and it was sunny and nice and not too hot and beautiful here, actually, downtown on the water, so lucky.
Oh, good. And you are hanging out with some of my absolute favorite people, aren't you?
I am. I am with the Computer Explorer franchisees down here in South Point, and everybody seems to be having a wonderful time, and hopefully they're tuning in, and some of them will be joining me in a little while, I think.
Very good. Yeah, I think they were going to call in, tune in, chat, and we're going to have a guest, and I think he's just en route, Todd with Valpak. Hopefully we'll land soon. He was attending an IFA event and driving, I think, from Orlando back to Tampa. So I'm looking here. It looks like I'm getting a message that hopefully he'll be joining us here soon. So it's just us for a little while. Oh, and I see we've got lots of folks in the chat. We have to remind ourselves, AK, and we were talking about this a little bit before we went live, that we have a lot of folks that pull up our shows and listen to them. And let's tell everybody how many archives or shows we're listened to in the month of March. Do you know what the magical number is that we hit?
What was the magical number?
It was like 3,700 archives. Listen.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool for Social Geek Radio.
They're ready to have us on public syndication on like NBC or something.
Along with video.
Yeah.
Now, our buddy Todd says he's in the queue, and that's really funny because I don't see him in the queue. Don't you? Uh-huh. You know, Blog Talk Radio, I really do need to talk to you sometimes. So I'm going to send him a tweet and tell him I don't see him in the queue. I can't open up his phone line. And I was listening to a show one day that the announcers, whatever you call us, host, had the same issue. Host.
Yeah.
Had the same issue. So... So what's happened this week in social media that we could share with anybody?
What's happened this week in social media? Nothing to speak of, really. Actually, there have been no big updates that I can think of. I'm thinking about the updates from last week.
Yeah.
I could tell everybody about the LinkedIn updates since I did not know the answer to that last Thursday when you asked me.
Okay.
Yeah. I do know the answer to that now, which that actually had to do with company pages. And on LinkedIn company pages, there's a slow rollout process going on, but the ability is coming where you can segment your followers of your LinkedIn company page into lists by geography, job title, industry, etc. And then you can target your company page updates to these respective lists. So very much like sending out updates to different circles on Google+ or to different lists on Facebook.
Ooh.
So that was like a LinkedIn update last week.
Cool. I've been visiting LinkedIn a little bit more, trying to make it a habit of mine is checking it out and seeing what new things are going on and who I can connect to. Because it really is cool.
Teaching Monday and Tuesday this week, I taught all-day social media classes. And I do Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, YouTube, I don't know, probably another one or so. And when we got to LinkedIn and I was talking about the question and answer section and groups and all that kind of stuff, and I was having the students in the class run searches for keywords within their industry and even their own products and services, they actually liked and thought that LinkedIn really was probably the one that they would focus on the most. So they really liked LinkedIn, which I thought was neat because sometimes I forget about LinkedIn.
You know why? Well, I'll tell you why I've been thinking about more about LinkedIn, too, is that I've been really fascinated with my new Pinterest followers. So I start stalking them. It's like, okay. You know, and if they're using their real names, which a lot of people are, it's been fun to then see if I can find them on LinkedIn and then connect with them. And I tell them up front. It's like, you know, because there's no option to say you're connected or you've done business on Pinterest.
Right.
So I click that, you know, I'm a friend, which I'm really not, but I'm a friend of Pinterest, and do it that way. And I'm building my LinkedIn connections, and I'm really fascinated with some of the bios of the folks that are on Pinterest. I know. Really, really different. Now, Todd has, let's see if we can do this live call. So, Todd, if you're listening, you got to hang up your phone so that we can call, and let's dial it. We always wanted to do that. Did we do this one night? Oh, can you hear it, AK? Can you hear it ringing?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Let's see. I don't know. He said that was the number. Oh. It's still ringing.
Here I am.
There's Todd. I don't see you in the queue. I'm so glad you tweeted and said that you were in the queue. It's like, nope, I don't see you in there.
Yeah, I was there. I was listening to the music, and then I was listening to you two, and I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on?
I'm supposed to be there.
Yeah. Hey, I got to give you credit, though. I used to be in radio, and it's not easy to juggle technical difficulties while you're trying to maintain a conversation, so kudos for that.
Well, thanks. Yeah, and two or three devices here. It's like, okay, text messages, what do? Tweet them, direct message. So, but, hey, we're all here. So did you have a great time? Were you in Atlanta or Orlando?
It was here in Tampa. We had a fabulous day. It was the IFA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a franchise sales development one-day seminar, and really well attended. About 35 different franchise development executives, CEOs, a couple of suppliers, one or two franchisees. It was really interesting.
Good. So let's remind everybody. I know AK knows who you are because we've had you on the show before, but let's remind our audience who Todd from Valpak Todd is, and why we decided to invite you to our show tonight. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Todd, and I always love your story about your first experiences with social media, your first tweet or your first LinkedIn or...
Well, so I guess I'm on the show because in my former life, I used to run all the digital products for Valpak. And we've had some restructuring and some reshuffling, and I'm on franchise sales now, which is great because I love that. But I really have been an early adopter of social media and technology in general. So I like to think that while I'm not caught up in the fray of it day in and day out, I can kind of offer an opinion and a view from maybe the way that people that aren't really caught up in it every day can kind of use it and see it, and some more practicality to it. So that's why I think I'm here.
Wait, you know what LinkedIn number, user number you are?
Yeah, I'm like 113,000 out of how many now, AK?
Wait, how do you know that?
I'd say, doesn't that freak you out? One, that he knows it, and one, you know, that he's in that low number because there's billions. But how do you know that?
How do you know it? Seriously.
So here's how I know this, and this is a great lesson in social media. I got an email about 9 months ago before they went public, from Reid Hoffman. And Reid sent an email, apparently, to the first 1 million users of LinkedIn.
Oh.
And, of course, when you signed up, you got assigned a number, which I did not know because they didn't publicize it. But he called it to my attention, and he was basically saying, hey, we've gone over, I forget what the number was, 100 million, and we just want to thank you for being in the first million.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
So I think it's 113,278.
You just
think
that's a random guess?
Nah, something like that. It's pretty close. I don't have it completely memorized, but I'm kind of upset that I'm not, like, lower than that.
Aww.
And then your other stat, you have information about Facebook, when you started using Facebook.
Yeah, so my son was using it, and he had a he went to the University of Miami, so he had an EDU address.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. Of course, he won't let me use his account or anything, but I'm keeping track of it. And as soon as they opened it up to the general public, I was all over it. So I don't know what my number was there, but I was one of the I'd like to say early adopters of Facebook outside of a college student that had an EDU email address.
I definitely have you beat on that one.
Not
I bet you do.
Competitive.
No, not at all.
I was in college when Facebook came out, so I had one of the first accounts.
See,
showing my age.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you hear that, Todd? She was in college. Not that we had college kids at the time.
She was actually
a student, so she has to rub that into our face. That's okay.
I'm feeling very old. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, you two actually haven't met in person yet, have you?
No.
We have not. No?
We're going to have to fix that. Yeah.
We'll fix that in a couple weeks, maybe in Atlanta?
No, AK can't be there. She has a wedding to be in. She has to be in a wedding.
I know.
Oh, well.
But she gets to meet some of her Twitter friends that are going to be in real life friends by the end of the weekend, because as you probably heard, Todd, you know, she's at the Computer Explorers Conference. And Todd, I think you may have met Brooke Howe at an IFA previously. She's with the Smart Brief. So she's in the Baltimore area, so she's going to be at the conference tomorrow, Computer Explorers, and AK is going to get to meet Brooke. And I know they've chatted before. And Brooke is going to be in Atlanta, so we'll get to see her at Fran Camp, which is great. But, AK's hanging out with all the Computer Explorers tweets. Are there anybody there with you, AK, as you're co-hosting tonight?
Laurie's here.
Laurie's here.
Laurie Duck, flat Laurie, full Laurie. All Laurie's there. The real Laurie. You should
Laurie
have
in real life.
Yeah, and you should have Flat Deb at the conference.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway.
It's still time. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll do whatever. So, Todd, you have been doing some pre-FranCamp work because you're going to be presenting at FranCamp on the perfect, great social media marketing campaign. Why don't you share with all of us what you've learned and what you've been doing and what Laurie can share with Computer Explorers and our audience can share with their franchise brands.
Well, you put a lot of pressure on me to come
I know.
Up with the perfect social media campaign. I'm feeling the pressure.
You can handle it. I know, AK, you believe he can handle it too, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, time will tell. You know, the thing that I have observed over the years, last few years, is there is no such thing as a perfect social media campaign. There is no such thing as, you know, a social media expert. We're all knowledgeable, but it puts a lot of pressure on you to say that you know something as completely as some people say they do. I think there's a lot of knowledgeable people out there, and I think several of them are on the phone right now. But, I don't want to position myself as being in that camp. Again, I just kind of observe it. I've been involved in it. I've been an early adopter. But I find it fascinating to try to understand what is working and what's not working. And, you know, I've come away with a few conclusions. And one of them is that perfect's a pretty strong word, and I don't know that there is such a thing. So I think the best you can strive for is to do something that is really, really, really good and achieves whatever your particular goals are, whether they're individual or whether they're a company. And as I've done my research and homework, I've come across some fascinating facts and figures that I really do want to share a lot of them for FranCamp. Hint, hint, you better register if you haven't yet. But, you know, I've noticed that there's an awful lot of different campaigns, and you really cannot say this is the cookie-cutter way to do it. Sure, there are elements of all campaigns that should be consistent. But I was thinking about some of the things that we do at Valpak, and we have a totally different objective than another campaign that I've been watching very carefully, and I am going to talk about this at FranCamp, and I will talk about it now, is Procter & Gamble's social media strategy for Pepto-Bismol.
Oh. Now, see, I thought you were going to talk about – no, but I thought you were going to talk about the mac and cheese one with Frankie and Dottie, who's just rollingly hilarious. I don't know if you've seen that one.
You know, I have heard about it, but I don't know that I have seen it.
Oh, you got to look it up on YouTube. Yes. It's just
okay. Freaking
funny. Yeah.
But, I will do that. The thing about, Pepto-Bismol, which obviously is not a franchise brand, so it's not perfect for a franchise brand social media discussion. But I think if you can create a social media campaign for Pepto-Bismol, you can pretty much do anything, right? And the takeaway from that is that if you're going to do something like that, you better have a lot of money and the power of Procter & Gamble. And if you don't, you're going to have to just have lower expectations, because it takes an awful lot of time and effort and resources to pull off something for a product like that versus just trying to create some buzz for, you know, something like coupons, which Valpak would try to do. So that's one of the takeaways, is that you either spend a lot of money and really pull it off, or lower your expectations and do what you can with the resources that you have and make sure that everybody else in the company's expectations are set appropriately.
Very good. AK, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Now, AK, do you think that there's such a thing as a perfect social media campaign?
Absolutely not. No, totally not. And I was actually I was teaching a social media class on Monday and Tuesday this week, and a couple of the people that I had in my class, they kept saying, well, what are the best practices? What are the best practices for that? I'm like, there are no best practices. You know, like, what are the best times we should post? And when are people going to read our posts? And I'm like, you have to completely do it, you know, based on your individual business and your individual target audience and everything like that. There's no surefire way to absolutely positively say that something's going to work.
And there's no definite one-size-fits-all platform either, correct?
Absolutely, no. Yeah. I mean, except for Pinterest.
We're talking about that at lunch. At Pinterest.
Yeah.
In case, always talking about Pinterest.
So we're talking at dinner about, you know, kind of doing a search, knowing where your customer is. And if your customer is not using it, maybe putting your energy towards maybe a more personal email marketing effort, or, you know, finding out where they are and what they're doing. But if they're not on, then maybe, you know, your time is better spent doing something slightly different.
Yeah, one of the things that I've found fascinating is, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a lot of research out there that indicates that individuals, consumers, are really not all that interested in having companies kind of interrupt their personal social stream. You're on Facebook, and you know, you've got a lot of companies that you've liked over time, Is that becoming more of an annoyance, or do you really like having that interruption in what would normally be a non-commercial type of environment?
You know what? I have a question. I have a question for you guys. So you're talking, you know, someone like you, Todd, or AK, or Laurie, or I, who are in the business of social media and franchising, who I know we like a lot of the companies. Does the average individual, do we know how many companies the average individual on Facebook actually does click on like? Probably not. I mean, AK just probably trumps us all as far as how many companies she likes on Facebook. So are there, so is the average person stream really interrupted as ours is?
That's a good question. I would like to know the answer to that too, because I, last time I checked, I had like, I don't know, over 1,700 pages. So whoever said that you cannot like more than 500 pages, I am here to tell you that is not true. But what I find is, you know, sometimes I liked pages because it was, you know, I knew the person who was the owner of the page or the person who was doing it, and I wanted to support them. But I get to the point where sometimes I'll go in and I'll hide the updates from that page just because it's either not things that are of interest to me, and I could just go in and unlike them, but I don't know. But, you know, sometimes I do get annoyed by some posts, but more often than not, you know, I click to like it because I was interested in what they had to say. So I enjoy reading the updates of all the, you know, I sometimes I enjoy reading the updates of the pages that I'm following more than of my friends. No offense to my friends who are in near me, who I'm following on Facebook. But, you know, it's you know, it's good information. I use them as resources, and I like to see how they're doing social media. So I personally don't mind it.
Now, I will remind everybody, and AK, I'm going to quote you because you did this once before. I do recall you saying you liked your online friends a lot better than your personal friends. So I'm hoping all your, some of your personal friends aren't listening.
Oh, they're definitely not listening. So
that's
fine.
Right. But
yeah,
I don't
my
mind.
Online friends are way cooler.
that's what you said. You didn't say you liked us better. We are way cooler.
You're way more my speed.
So I don't know, Todd. I think you think we could do a survey before Fran Camp. We only have like 2 weeks. I could start surveying my own Facebook friends and ask them, you know, how many Facebook likes do you have, or you know, companies that you like, and what do you think about that, those interruptions? Because now a lot of my Facebook friends like my Deb Evans Consulting. I've asked them to like Social Geek Radio and Fran Camp. So other than that, I don't know why they would like anybody else. Maybe Valpak and saying it's social.
Obviously.
So I have found some stats on that. Okay.
Okay.
So this is what we're going to share at Fan Camp. So these stats show that 3 in 5 Facebook users have not friended or liked a brand. And then those that have, on average, are a fan of just 2 brand pages.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know.
Another stat is that of those, then only 1% of them actually engage in the brand page itself.
Wow. Oh, do we still have you, Todd?
Oh, yeah. I'm still
here.
I'm still here. So the point is that people will like a brand, and the only way that they're going to see it then is through their stream, because they're probably not going to go back to the brand page unless there's some sort of messaging in the stream that causes them to want to click on it and go to the brand page. So the point is that marketers really have to make sure that whatever they're putting out there that will end up in a fan's stream that they has liked them, better be compelling enough that they will click on it. Otherwise, they will never see whatever else they're putting on that fan, on that brand page. You sound like you are questioning that stat.
No, I take your word for it. I have to digest it.
Now remember, like, we're talking about normal people, not us
geeky folks. But those are the people that we're marketing to. So, what do we do with that information? How do we get them? We want them to like more, because I want them to like you, Todd, and AK Sang at Social, and Laurie's Computer Explorers, and Deb Evans Consulting, and Fran Camp, and so I want them to like more, but I want them to like me first.
So I think it comes down to the old adage of what's in it for me. What's the whiffum in them liking you and saying as a fan of you? Because they can easily unlike you, right?
Oh, yeah. I have that happen quite often.
It's even easier now to unlike a page than it was before.
Hmm. Well, you don't have to unlike it. You just hide it.
Well, yeah, but like before, to unlike a page, you had to go to their wall. You had to go all the way down to the bottom left-hand side, and it was a teeny tiny link that said unlike. Now you just have to click the like button again where it says liked, and you have the option to unlike.
Yeah, it's too easy.
Yeah, exactly. I liked it better when it was harder.
Todd, I do have to – I just see something. I'm now paying attention to the chat, but – I have a quote here for you. Todd, I think you are my hero for the day. That just came from Kate Groom in Australia. Have you met Kate?
No.
Oh, you have to meet Kate.
What did I do to become a hero?
Well, we'll ask Kate, even though she can hear us, but we can't hear her. So, Kate, what was it that Todd said that made him your hero? So now we're going to talk to people in the chat and ask them to chat back. But that's pretty cool. You have a hero.
But I'm conflicted. Let me tell you girls how I'm conflicted on all this.
Okay.
What I just shared with you, you know, let's assume it's true. It seems to be counteracted by the number of brands that have millions of likes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So I just happen to like Dr. Pepper. So I liked the Dr. Pepper page, and I was shocked to see that there were over 2.4 million fans of Dr. Pepper, that five of my Facebook friends are fans of Dr. Pepper, and if you go to their page and you look at their wall, the number of consumers that are interacting with that page just blew me away. Who are these people?
Maybe they're robots.
A couple of them were pretty good-looking robots.
So Todd really wants to know who they are. He's checking them out. I go to LinkedIn to check out on my Pinterest followers. I'm not going to ask Todd where he's checking these people out.
Dr. Pepper.
I don't know. I mean, how do we compete with that? How do we as suppliers, vendors, or whatever, it's that perfect social media campaign.
Well, so, again, it comes
Pepper.
Down, yeah. Well, we're not going to be Dr. Pepper, we're not going to be Coca-Cola, we're not going to be Delta Airlines, so we've got to provide value of some sort. It's got to be of interest to the consumer, and you've got to probably, again, set your expectations that it's going to be a limited audience, because we're somewhat niche in what we do. And, you know, Dr. Pepper and Coca-Cola are a lot more universal than any of us are. So you're going to have to provide value and recognize that you don't need 2.4 million fans. You just probably need a few hundred. You got a pretty good day going.
Yeah.
If Kate, they're the right people.
Yeah. Kate answered our question from some time ago. Let me go back through the chat. So Kate in Australia said, you know, you're her hero because you were talking about what really is or isn't happening in social media. And she also made another good comment. It says here, I just don't know that all this liking is leading to growth, especially in the small business world. And now somebody else here, BJ Emerson, our friend here from Tasty Delight, brought up a good point here. He said, did you know you can buy likes on eBay? Is he serious?
And on Fiverr.
And where?
Fiverr.
It's where you can go. It's a site called FIVERR.com, and you can go and you pay people $5 for things.
Right.
One of the things you can pay people $5 for is likes on Facebook.
So that's what Dr. Pepper did. They bought them. Everybody can be bought, I guess. You just blew Kate Groom's mind. She's yelling all the way from Australia, and I can see it. That's sad.
Yeah. But you know what? Usually when people sell likes, it's either a whole bunch of made-up accounts, and it's not real people. You're just getting numbers who will never interact with your page. So your ratio of people who like your page to people who are talking about this will be really, really bad, and your edge rank will really be horrible. Or it's a bunch of people who are in no way part of your target audience, so it doesn't matter anyhow.
Hmm. Yeah.
That gets back to the subject that the tweet that I sent earlier this week, and Deb, you retweeted, was, you know, it's the quality, not necessarily the quantity.
Yeah, and we've always said that, the quality of engagement. So I have a social media story here, and I'm trying to think, how do I tell it without putting the person in? So I attended an event over the weekend, and it was really, really nice. It was well organized. The food was great. Really had a great time. So I, as a customer, I know I'm the first that's going to be the one to complain, either on their Facebook page or email or whatever, if I don't have a good experience. But I wanted to be that first person to give kudos because I had a really good experience. And I happened to have email addresses of the people who were in charge of this event. And I just think I did a very thoughtful job of trying to thank everybody and then, you know, explaining why I thought it was a great event. Do you know I heard absolutely nothing back? So I went from a raving fan to now trying to hold my hands from going to their Facebook page and spout off negative thoughts about they didn't engage with me. They didn't. But am I wrong? You know, because I thanked them for a good event, am I wrong to assume they should have said thank you or you're welcome?
They should have responded.
I think so, too.
I think you should tell them.
Oh, I think I will. And everybody else. But
it's now out there for our 3,000 listeners.
That's right. But I didn't say where it was. Though anybody that knows me close enough will know exactly where I was last weekend because I tweet and Foursquare and everything else. But, you know, just go back and see where I was and you can, you know. But so it goes to those quality engagements, and you know, I am a, you know, a good customer, and but I'm not now. I'll go somewhere else.
So do you think they just completely missed it?
Oh, no.
Or they just
no, because I actually did talk to a third party person who said they heard about the wonderful email I had sent. So they're telling others that they received this glowing email from a customer, but they didn't go back to me, the customer, to acknowledge they received. I thought maybe my email wasn't received, and I really kind of had forgotten about it. But okay, I forgot. But then when I find out from somebody else who said, oh, yeah, I heard you sent that email, it's like, wait a minute, how do you know I sent this email? Oh, well, so-and-so told me you sent it, and it was wonderful. Why didn't the parties that received it acknowledge it? I just don't think they understand social media engagement and how it works, but they don't know how to engage with their customers. It's bad manners.
An email is easy. I can imagine if it was
yeah.
a tweet or something and it
yeah,
just kind of rolled
it was email.
By, but an email, that's inexcusable.
Yeah. So I haven't gone to the Facebook page yet because then I felt bad. It's like, oh, I forgot to go to the Facebook page and, you know, put some, you know, my experience on there. I forgot. Of course, now I've been reminded. It's like, oh, yeah, I haven't posted anything on Facebook yet. Oh, wonder what I should post. But I think we should all be reminded about the engagement. And it's, you know, it's one thing. It's hard to keep up if you've got 90,000 people that like your Facebook page. How does Dr. Pepper keep up with all of that?
Well, I can see there being some passion for Dr. Pepper, and I can see some passion for Coca-Cola and certain other brands. Not every small business has as passionate a fan or customer as these big brands do. And without the passion, I'm not sure you're going to get the same kind of engagement. I mean, I'm pretty fanatical about this product, Dr. Pepper 10. Are you familiar with it?
I don't drink Dr. Pepper. I think Laurie does.
Dr. Pepper has come out with a diet Dr. Pepper for men. That's the way they're marketing it. It's not diet Dr. Pepper. It's called Dr. Pepper 10. It has 10 calories, and it tastes closer to regular Dr. Pepper than it does diet Dr. Pepper, but yet it only has 10 calories. So I'm pretty fanatical about it because I've always liked Dr. Pepper. I just don't like 140 calories in every can. So now I can drink it and feel good about drinking it, and they've got my passion.
But is it really that different from the regular or the diet Dr. Pepper?
It tastes better than diet Dr. Pepper, but so close to regular Dr. Pepper that you really don't taste diety.
Hmm.
So here I am. I'm talking about it. I'm mentioning it at work. I'm talking about it to my friends, and I would probably be one that would go ahead and like that on a Facebook page. But, you know, it takes millions and millions of dollars and the number of years that Dr. Pepper has been around to be able to create that foundation for somebody like me to get excited about it. I think it's tough for a lot of businesses, small and large, that don't have that kind of heritage or that kind of money to create that foundation for social media that based off of.
I agree. So
if the big brands have a lot of fans and interaction because they're really good, quote unquote, at social media, or because people just know about them, so they're there and they see their posts and they just feel compelled, or they're just like, oh, it's Dr. Pepper, I'll click like. Is it really that they're that much better, or that they're just that much known anyway?
Well, that's a good question. I would default to the brand. I would the base of the they're that well known,
right?
And you've had some sort of emotional or passionate or life experience, or the commercials that they've run over the years. I'm a pepper, you're a pepper. All those things.
Yeah.
I'd like to teach the world to sing with Coca-Cola. All that has emotional impact on people. So social media, I think, leverages that, and they just have an unfair advantage over the small guy who just hasn't created that passion, with the exception of certain brands. You look at, you mentioned BJ before and what Tasty Delight has done. They've been able to capture that, but how many other Tasty Delights are out there that are kind of in that category? They're not super huge, but they're also not, a one or two location mom and pop. I mean, they're kind of a medium-sized type of business, and they've created that passion. I give them a lot of credit for that. They've leveraged that, but I don't know that that's that easy to do for somebody in that same type of category.
No, it can't be that easy. And Laurie, are you still there with AK?
Laurie has left the building.
She left the building. So if we take computer, she snuck out. I heard that tap tap tap. But if you take the brand, like Computer Explorers, you have a group of franchisees that couldn't be any more passionate about the brand, and you've got customers that are very passionate about it. But it is a small brand, and it's not in all the local markets, so it is really difficult. But in some of those local markets, it's very well known via the word of mouth, their customers, the penetration that the franchisee has done in their market, either directly with their customers or with the social media. So it's really hard for them to compete.
But on the other hand, you look at their size, and it gets back to what I said earlier, is you got to just set the expectations. Having a passionate group of franchisees and passionate customers is great. You're just not going to have 2.4 million of them.
Right, right. You can never get those numbers.
No. So, if it moves the needle for whatever you are measuring the needle on, and it's 100 or it's 1,000 or it's somewhere in between, and it moves that needle, and the ROI for the investment in the social media platform is justifiable, you should be very happy.
That's a very good point.
It's just going to be harder. It's going to be harder to move that needle than Dr. Pepper can just say, oh, I'm going to put up a Facebook page. I'm going to put my brand pictures up there. I'm going to probably mention it in some of my millions of dollars worth of ads and put it on the outside of my cans that millions of people touch every month. It's certainly a lot easier for them than it is for everybody else that doesn't have that kind of distribution.
Well, and I know I look at the Social Geek Radio fans, and I get excited when we get a new fan. I think we're at like 573. I didn't think we'd go over 500. I don't know that we'll hit 1,000. We might. Maybe there's 3,000 listens that we have. We can start reminding everybody, aka every week. We have a Facebook page. Go and like our Facebook page. It's a tough market.
So there's a good example. So why should I like the Facebook page?
Because we post.
Why should I like it?
We post funny things. We give tech tips. And you know what? I think what we do more on Social Geek Radio is we share things from other brands or businesses. Like, I love the Data Doctor. I know you know Kent Colburn. I love their tech videos. They crack me up. They're informative, but they're great. They've got useful information. So I tend to post a lot of their type of videos on Social Geek Radio or, tech tips. If people are interested in social media and techiness, that's where they should go. Social Geek Radio and Saying It's Social.
Yeah. I mean, if you like the show, you'll like the page. It's a given.
The one thing we do have a lot going on with that page, though, is there was a group on LinkedIn some time ago that asked me to post the link to the page. And then we get a lot of likes from LinkedIn, and I can't figure out for the life of me what group it is that's sending people over, which is fine. But I don't know how many, sometimes I wonder if they really like the page or they're just there and clicked and then they've moved on. He's going to analyze Social Geek Radio. I can tell it.
No, go ahead, AK. I got a comment. No, it's not an analysis of the page. I just have a comment.
My comment was just a pet peeve of mine about Facebook is that when a page likes a page, it does not count towards your like count, and I don't think that's fair. If a page likes your page, I think it should count towards your like count, and it does not.
I forgot about that.
Like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think we would have a lot more because I think we have a lot of pages that come over with those ones that you were saying come from LinkedIn that just aren't counting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Go ahead, Todd. We're ready. We can take it.
Okay, so you have 573 likes. That's fabulous. You should be very, very happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm impressed.
I hear a butt coming.
But here's my point. And it's not a however about your page. I'm sitting here looking at it, and I look over to the right, and I'm looking at the ads over there. And I don't tend to normally do that because I don't need to win a cruise and – I really don't care about Redbox and a few other things that typically show up. But now all of a sudden I see White Castle. It says, like White Castle and join the community and share the craze. I could see myself just clicking on that because I grew up in Ohio. I like White Castle. That'd be kind of fun. There's a brand that I can remember eating at 2 o'clock in the morning, and throwing the boxes out the sunroof of the car. I got an emotional attachment to that. And then White Castle is spending the money helping Mr. Zuckerberg by running an ad there. And as I'm looking at Social Geek Radio and I'm trying to stay focused on that, there's this iconic brand that I recognize over to the right, distracting me, and boom, I like it, and now I'm on their page. So again, the big brand has that advantage of not only the recognizable logo, the emotional tie to probably a past experience, and the money to put it in my face.
Yeah,
those big brands.
Not perfect, but it sure gets you a lot closer to perfect than the small guy can. Boy, look at those sliders. Wow.
I think Todd drove home from the IFA and forgot to stop for dinner.
Yeah, I need a White Castle and a Dr. Pepper, and I'm happy.
I'll take care of you at Frank Camp, Todd, I promise.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to think about tonight. I don't know what we can do, and I see that somebody is in the chat yelling at us that it's time for Geek It Out, and I knew that was coming up. So, Todd, tell everybody where they can go to your blog, where you've been posting your pre-Framecamp social media tips.
Okay. Well, first of all, ladies, thank you for having me on. I hope I didn't disrupt you too much. But you did learn about Dr. Pepper 10, at least, right? My blog is toddleiser.net, toddleiser.net. You can follow me at @alpactodd on Twitter. And on the blog, I have tried to pull out some social media success stories from Atlanta, since Frank Camp is going to be in Atlanta. And
yeah.
I did a little profile on Coke, and I did one on Delta, mm-hmm. and I did one on UPS. And it was kind of interesting as I was doing my research, so I put it up there for anybody that's interested in looking at it. Some video presentations of their social media managers talking about their strategy. So I'd encourage you to check it out. It's neat. And the Coca-Cola one is just amazing. So definitely check that out if you're interested.
Yeah, it is cool. It's cool. And thank you so much. And I'm so excited that we're going to be able to spend some time together at the Frame Camp. It seems like we were just together at IFA. It was only a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, travel safe. Thank you so much for beating feet home and joining us tonight. Sorry about that disruption in the beginning, but hey, we got you here after all.
And you handled it well. Thank you for having me on. And you all have a great week and weekend, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Todd. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, AK, they're saying we need music. Should I give them the music?
Let's do it.
All right. Oh. Okay. So, let's see. I need some new windows. Okay, I've got some new windows open.
Okay. I have a little bit of an advanced Geek It Out tonight.
You have an advantage every night, every week. So,
advanced.
Oh. I thought you said advantage. It's like, yeah, you're a geek. Okay.
That is my advantage. Okay. Now, this one is it's Google's keyword tool, which is actually for people who run Google AdWords, but you don't have to have a Google AdWords account in order to use it. And the URL for it is really, really long and ugly, and my computer just died, so I don't have a small URL for it. But just go to Google and type in Google keyword tool, and you'll find it. But the way that I have been using the Google keyword tool recently is, let's say I wrote a blog post about Facebook timeline, and I was going to call it something really creative and funny and try to get people to like it. But what I really want to do is, or what I should be doing, is putting a title that is actually sort of what people are searching for in the search engine to help my blog post get found. So I can go to the Google keyword tool and I can type in Facebook timeline, and it's going to give me keyword ideas. So it's actually going to show me how many global searches there are, how many local searches there are. If I put in United States as my local search, for example, you can do it by region. And so that will give me ideas on not only what I should be titling my blog post to help it be found better, but also words I should be putting in my post and the keywords and the tags that I should be using for my blog. And I have been doing this on my past couple of blog posts, and even when I put things into YouTube and SlideShare, and I have definitely been seeing an increase in traffic to my stuff because I'm now keywording it based on what I am being told by Google people are actually searching on.
That is very cool, and that is one long, ugly URL.
Yeah, see, I don't know why it's so funky, but so I could, as soon as my computer reboots, I can put it into a tiny URL and I can...
Oh, well, I can do that for you. I can put it in the chat.
Yeah. So, but it's really neat and it's been really effective for me.
Well, that's all we need.
Yeah. So that's my advanced geek tip for the night. So now I have some more fun ones.
I can sit there and look. Oh, somebody, Dana already put it in the chat. Okay, thanks, Dana.
Oh, thanks, Dana.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first fun one is called sidepons.com. My computer died, but I think it's sidepons.com. And if that takes you to an inappropriate site, I apologize.
Dana, I just got a virus off my computer this week. So I think I'm going to watch the chat and see what Dana says. So, Dana, go ahead, put it in and let us know if it's safe.
Yes. Sidepons.com. And what this site does is you can look up a site like Target.com, and when you load up the online retail site, in a sidebar on the left-hand side, it will show you if there are any coupons going on right now for that site. So when you first go to the site, like I experimented with it with Target.com. So I just type, there's a search bar right there. You type it into the search bar, and right on the left-hand side pops up a whole bunch of coupons for Target.
Okay, I'm still trying. Oh, I got it. All right. So it is sidepon.com. Yep. Oh, I know my kids will like this. They're coupon, online coupon freaky.
Hey, I found Lori.
I was going to say, I thought I just heard Lori come in. Oh, AK, I do have to tell you that Dana said that your Baltimore accent throws him off sometimes, so I think he's got it.
I have a Baltimore accent?
I guess.
I was not aware there was such a thing.
Well, you have it.
Well, darn.
Well, there you go. And we don't know what his accent is because he hides in the chat. We do. Okay.
Doesn't speak out loud.
Because we were discussing earlier.
Yeah, we were talking about Dana earlier at dinner.
Can we talk about that on air? Probably not, right?
No, we were talking about how he was here at the conference last year, and he was very, very chatty online, but he did not talk so much in person, so we were going to tweak to him while we were in the same room as him.
That's right. I do remember that. Okay.
Now he knows. The secret's
now
out.
Knows. Yes. Yes. And the secret is out. Dana, no secrets now.
Okay.
So we have probably time for another one. Let me look at our little handy on-air clock. Okay, so we've got 5 more minutes.
All right, I have another one. Crowdstorms.com, CrowdStorms.com. And this is kind of a cross between, it's like Pinterest, but with words crossed with list geeks. It's, you can start a list of something, like you create a category, and then you can start putting things in the list, but then you're kind of crowdsourcing your list, so then you can tweet it out, or you can share it, and then you can have other people come and start adding things to the list. So you could do it to be like fun and goofy, but I guess if you were trying to do some sort of research or word association or something of that nature, you could use it for that purpose as well.
So it's Crowdstorm. Okay, I got it.
Crowdstorm.com.
Mm-hmm. I love playing around with new sites. Then I forget that I have my headset on. I'm supposed to be, look at all these lists.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool beans.
We have time for one more.
Let me see. I lost my clock. Oh, yeah. We've got 4 minutes.
Okay. Well, this one's kind of a goofy one also. It's called getontheshelf.com. So get on the shelf, spelled exactly as it sounds, .com. And this is actually for people who have products that they want to, believe it or not, get on the shelf at Walmart.
I was going to say, it says Walmart.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of inventions that people have thought of or products on there that are like made for TV type things. But you, the neat thing is you can search it by category. So if you're just kind of wondering if there's any like products out there that are for sale that you've never heard of that may answer some sort of need or want that you have, you could, there's tons and tons and tons of products on here. And I found some really cool stuff by searching through the categories.
Hmm. Yep. I love
and you
shopping.
Know, there's like a competition, so people can vote on products that they want to see on the shelves there.
Oh, we know how that goes.
We do?
Yeah. A lot of people like to vote. Vote for me. Vote for my kid. Vote for...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm one of the people who's always begging for votes.
I've seen a few.
I'm saying, I do.
But, you know, I do have to ask you about a tweet that you did earlier today, and I retweeted, and I couldn't find somebody that's giving away the Fit Desk.
Yeah.
And well, where is she giving it away?
All you have to do is tweet with Fit Desk and Girls Gone Sporty.
Oh.
And if you go to the Girls Gone Sporty Facebook page, they have more details.
Well, I went to their page and I saw all kinds of other products that they were giving away. I couldn't find the Fit Desk.
Yeah, you just have to scroll.
Oh, I didn't scroll far enough.
They are. They do a whole bunch of stuff, but I think you only have until the 20th to enter. But if you do tweet with Girls Gone Sporty and Fit Desk, you are automatically entered.
Sounds like Dana could be tweeting that. Now, did you take your Fit Desk to the Computer Explorers conference?
You know, I actually thought about it, but I did not. But I may bring it back tomorrow, and I could just be exercising on the side while everybody's presenting.
Laurie was supposed to ask you to bring it. I think you should demo it during your workshop.
You can video it while I'm on the side.
There's my video for Fran Camp.
Yeah.
Okay, Laurie.
Oh, gosh, no pressure.
I can't officially give Laurie a job anymore. Laurie, please.
Now she just has to beg.
And I used to beg. That's not beneath me. I can do that. So, Laurie, please.
Please.
Please, that would be so cool. Okay. We're less than a minute, so I don't know if you have any more time. I think you said you are not going to do Ask AK tomorrow.
No, Ask AK tomorrow. I'll be Explorers.
You'll be at Computer Explorers, and our lovely Blog Talk Radio operator just said that we only have 60 more seconds, so we're going to have to shut down. So will we see tweets from the Computer Explorers conference tomorrow? I was watching all the
sure.
Foursquare posts.
We'll be tweeting. I'll be tweeting. Somebody will be tweeting.
Okay.
We'll tweet. We'll have to come up with a hashtag.
CE 2012.
CE 2012 it is.
I'll be watching for them. So tell everybody at CE hello. You guys have a wonderful conference. Have fun.
All right. See ya. Bye, everybody.
And bye, everybody in the chat.
Bye.